This is the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast, helping you run your restaurant better.
Welcome back to the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast. I thank you guys for joining us. As I say every single episode, I know you guys have lots of choices in the world of technology, in the world of podcasts. Feels like new ones keep getting released every day. And I know there's it's been a little bit of a journey on my podcast journey. It's been fun to be along with some of your longtime listeners. Today, we are joined by a technologist and CEO and co-founder of EpicBase, Carl Jacobs. Carl, why don't you introduce yourself first? And it's a very cool story and intriguing story. And then we'll talk a little bit about what we're trying to do with EpicBase.
All right. My name is Carl. I'm a co-founder and CEO at EpicBase. And at EpicBase, we are building a food and beverage management platform, which helps basically hospitality businesses like hotels, restaurants, catering businesses, dark kitchens, with the streamlining and centralization and standardization of their back of house. So we are focusing on recipes, food costs, inventory management, procurement, everything that has to do with your kitchen, basically. That's what EpicBase does.
Love it. And I know that you and I were able to talk pre-show. Talk to me a little bit about your history. Where did it come from? Why kitchen management? Give me a little bit about your professional background and where, what I found when I talked to our listeners, that one of their favorite things is to understand, how did something come about and where did a brand come from? And, why did Carl decide to go take on this world of kitchen management?
I know you asked this specifically for me because my background is actually not in the hospitality industry. I am actually an art historian. Mm-hmm. Before actually my career as founder of EpicBase, I was working in museums and in art houses, writing books and doing a lot of study about especially pop art. If you want to know anything about Andy Warhol, just ask me.
And how that translates to kitchen management, I'm excited for our listeners to hear, because it's always fun to talk through it. So I'll let you keep going.
Yeah. So basically, one of my friends who I met in university, he was working in restaurants, and he had a great relationship with a very famous chef in Belgium. And he had a Michelin star restaurant, and one day, they started talking, and they said, we make so many different dishes and we make so many different recipes, because you have regular customers and you don't want to serve them all day the same. So I want to have a tool which kind of gives me the freedom to take pictures of everything I do in the kitchen. And then they said, maybe we have to install a camera somewhere in the corner of the room and, record everything. But, these are very impractical solutions. So they started talking about this, and they talked to me about it, and they said, can you build something like this, or can we buy something like this? And in the beginning we thought, let's just buy something like that. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem to exist in the way that we wanted it. And so that's how Epic was founded. It was actually a photo studio which took pictures in a standardized way of everything you did in the kitchen. And right before it went to the customer, really the honest stuff, you just put it below the camera with some optimized light, and then you took a picture, it was immediately uploaded into the cloud, and you had a huge library of all these pictures that were taken by the chef himself, actually. And actually, that's the start of EpicBase. In the beginning, we had a lot of customers that were just buying the photo studio, and that was, let's say, our main focus. Along the way, some bigger customers, especially in the airline catering, etc., came by, and they say, this tool that you've built for these chefs, for these Michelin star restaurant chefs, we like this as well, because we have menu tastings, and we never know after the tasting what the customer now chose, because we have to take pictures and, they end up at phones and cameras and things like that. So, this tool that you've built, can we use it? And, we were just getting started. So we said, no, we only sell Michelin star restaurants. But then a few weeks later, I kind of realized maybe that's not a good business decision. So I phoned them back and I said, you know, let's talk, let's listen. And that's how, you know, this tool ended up in some bigger businesses and with multi outlets and with a lot of, you know, high volume. And then, you know, from one thing comes the other. You know, they say, you know, we have these beautiful pictures now, but can we add the recipe to these pictures? Can we add ingredients to these pictures? And we build an ingredient tagger. And then after, you know, they say, ah, food cost is really important. And, you know, that was back in 2016, 2017. Actually pretty new at that time, because before that, nobody was talking about food cost and margin. You know, they were just cooking. And that's how we started building Epic Base. And then in 2017, we really made the switch. We looked into that kitchen. We had a lot of these studios working all around the world. And we said, you know, what can we solve in the kitchen that really annoys every business? Mm-hmm. And we looked into the kitchen and we saw a lot of opportunity because it was a digital desert. They were, you know, using pen and paper. They were using the fax. They were emailing. There weren't any portals to order at suppliers. Everything was a chaos. So we set ourselves the goal, you know, why not streamline this side of the business? You had a lot of point of sales that were coming up, Lightspeed, and others were already growing in that time. But the back of house was big, big mess. And in 2017, then, you know, we moved from taking nice pictures to really solving their operational shit in the kitchen, basically. And that's how we came from taking pictures as an art historian, being interested in, you know, the evolution of food, to really solving one of the core issues of a food business.
And again, I know you were teasing about it when I asked you the journey, because it's such a fun, you know, other than just hanging out and having a couple of adult beverages, maybe, I don't know that I would have asked my friend who's an art historian to help me with photography for taking pictures. So, yeah. But you know, tell me a little bit more about that, because I think I personally think it's an interesting story, and I'd love to share fun stories with our listeners.
Yeah, the reality is actually that you know, if you're in the art world and you make exhibitions, because you know, one of the most fun things to do in the art world is making exhibitions. It's basically the same as doing a startup. You know, you. The only difference is that with an exhibition, you don't have a profit goal. You just want to show nice art to people. But that's basically what you're doing. You're setting up a project. You're doing this from A to Z. You're making sure that, you know, you get visitors. So you need to do marketing. You need to do research. You need to build a product. And the product is the art. That made me a very, let's say, versatile person. I could do a lot of things, mm-hmm. Maybe not all of them as good as I would have wanted to do them, but I could do a lot. The friend that I knew and actually still part of Epic Base as well is, he knew that and he saw that and he said, you know, we are looking for someone who is very hands-on, who can really bring this project from A to B. And then we can see, but that's basically the same idea. So of course the end goal is different. Doing business really is about making profit in the end and making sure that, you know, everybody had a decent living. But the way to this goal is the same. It's going all the way. It's an 80-hour week. It's failing. It's getting up again. Mm-hmm. It's talking to hundreds of people to convince them about your project. That's actually why my friend back then asked me to do the job.
I love it. So you went through kind of what the product does and the evolution of where it's at, but let's talk a little bit deeper. You know, let's talk about what you were trying to solve in the beginning. You know, so you got these photographs and we all have ordered food on an online platform, and the picture that you get oftentimes isn't what shows up in the box. Even at the table side, it might not be there. So talk to me a little bit about kind of the start and what were you, you know, what's what itch were you trying to scratch? What, you know, business challenge were you trying to solve? And then we'll kind of talk about the evolution, because I think it's a cool story. And I do think that in general, you guys have solved a lot of different problems in different and unique ways that I haven't seen other people do it. So I want to kind of walk through the journey to help help our listeners understand how you guys got to where you got to.
All right. To be very honest with you, actually, the reason why in 2017 we switched from studio to software is because the need for a software that solves back of house issues is much bigger than the one that we started the business with. Photos is a important but not life-saving issue within, or life-threatening issue within the business. Everybody is annoyed by ugly pictures, but nobody is dying because of a ugly picture. Businesses are dying if their food cost is wrong. Businesses, people are getting sick if the allergen information is wrong. So these things are much more crucial to a business than photos. The reason why we started with this is, and that's why it's important to mention that, you know, the segment we were focusing on was totally different in the beginning. We were at Michelin star restaurants. We were focusing on chefs that were extremely aware of the evolution, the advancements they made in food. Think about the fusion kitchen in Spain. Mm-hmm. Think about the top Michelin star restaurants in France that were really, you know, defining how food will look like or will taste in a few years' time. And these people, they are very aware of their status and about what they're doing, and they're very, you know, proud of what they're doing, and they are buying basically a photo studio to make sure that this heritage is safeguarded. So that was actually the first thing that we focused on. And you know, to make the little link to back to my history, as an art historian, heritage is of course very close to art history, and that people have the tendency to try and find, let's say, evolutions and understand how food evolves, how art evolves, how all of these things evolve. So that was my initial spark of interest to join the project. It was really like, I really like this idea of, you know, setting out thousands of photo studios around the world, a little bit naive back then, but that was the idea. And really, you know, have these thousands of chefs take pictures over a long period of time, and you can actually see the evolution of food through pictures. Luckily then, as I said, also big enterprises came by, and they had a very business-like issue. They had many tastings. They had shit pictures. They did not know what they were selling to their customers anymore. So they said, you know, from now on, you have this photo studio standing next to the menu tasting, and every menu got a number and a picture in Epic Base, and they could sort this per customer. And that's basically what we solved back then. But that was a very small niche of a niche, almost. Yeah. And then they started asking questions. They came with questions like recipes, ingredients, food costs, allergens. And that's actually how we kind of listen to the customer and move into that kitchen more firm and more deeply. And the 2017 question came actually because at that time we built a very nice product information management tool. We had the orders and we had the recipes, menu development. And the goal was actually to connect to procurement tools, inventory tools, every kind of tool that was in the market through API. We said, you know, let's have the central data, and then you can, you know, by API or by any means, go and fetch this data with Epic Base. We keep it kind of sane and healthy and everything in order. And when you'd want to do orders, you can do this with our data. But the businesses that were in the market at that time and that were focusing on procurement, inventory, etc., they kind of shut the door on us. They said, you know, we don't want you to do this. It's a stupid idea. Why would we want to do this? We do this ourselves. So instead of working together, they forced us actually to build these things ourselves. And that's actually why we start building, let's say, different modules ourselves because we said, you know, we have such a beautiful tool. We want to add more value to that tool. How can we do that? And that's why we looked in the kitchen and we say, okay, we're going to solve inventory management. We are going to solve this procurement issue and untangle all of these things that happen within the kitchen and hopefully help the business gain more money by making sure that they are ordering in an orderly fashion, that they don't waste as much, and that they have a clear understanding on their theoretical and actual food cost and the gap that exists between those two.
I love it. I love it. And I know you and I talked in the past about just once you get beyond one or two locations, it's impossible for you to have consistency unless you have a system and a process to help those chefs, to help the, you know, funny enough, you talk Michelin star restaurants and one of our clients years ago, US-based company, the French Laundry in Yountville, and when they opened up their Per Se, and this is back in the early 2000s in New York City, they had a live video feed between the two kitchens in order for Chef Thomas to be able to look at stuff going through the pass.
Yeah.
And you think about this and how important it is for him to see the food going out and ensuring that it's going to uphold his name. How do you do that? And again, this was 20, 25 years ago. So it's a different world, different technology. I was just at a different client and they have a product deployed that does recipe management, not necessarily the ingredients and the purchasing, but they have videos of how to chop an onion properly in order to get these. So talk to me a little bit about how the adoption was. Once you get beyond one or two, you know, even in this Michelin star restaurant, you may not be able to work 7 days a week. Actually, you shouldn't be working 7 days a week. And so you've got your sous chef that now needs to either sit under you for years and years and years to understand exactly how to chop this type of onion, or you build a system and you build a process that gets you there. Talk to me a little bit about what your guys' learnings were in that beyond store one or two.
Yeah. Well, funny thing is that I think you're talking about Thomas Keller.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He used to be a customer at Epic Base when we did the photo studio. So I don't know if he's still a customer. I have to look into that. But if you walk into his kitchen, you might bump into one of our studios.
That's hilarious.
You know, the truth is that, you know, when you have one single restaurant, and whether or not this is a Michelin star restaurant or not, simple mom and pop store, you'll be able to manage your restaurant. And I think Thomas Keller is a beautiful example of exactly where the switch goes. It doesn't really matter what kind of restaurant you are, if you're a high end or a low end restaurant, or, you know, doing fast casual or anything. From the moment you start scaling your business, that's when you need software. Because when you have a sous chef and you have a single restaurant, you don't need to work 7 days a week, because you have people that understand exactly how you breathe and how you talk and how you cut your onions. But once you have multiple restaurants, you want to have a certain standard way of doing things. Because when people enter the Ivy Collection somewhere and they enter the Ivy Collection in another place, they expect the same recipe and the same product in both restaurants, because they're part of the same brand. And we see that typically a tipping point is 3 to 5 restaurants, because if you scale from 1 to 3 restaurants, you probably, you know, manage. You will have an Excel sheet somewhere and you'll manage to, you know, send this around by email when you make a change. But once you go beyond these 3 to 5 restaurants, then you need a tool that really says, okay, this is the way you build your recipe. This is where you order your stuff. And this is how much you need in your inventory. And also when you need to order, et cetera, et cetera. Because most of the time, also the bills start to go to a different place than where the intake is going. So all of these things start to change. And that's where software like Epic Base becomes an important tool in your kitchen. I recently did a case study basically about Epic Base in a bigger chain. I think they had 70 outlets or so. And really the gap between their theoretical and actual food cost was actually caused by the fact that they had a recipe with fish in there, and they, instead of doing two small fish, they did four small fish. Mm-hmm. And they, that was, you know, it was grown like that, you know, it, nobody talked about this, you know, the recipe said two, but yeah, that's not enough, so let's put four on then. So they if they found this out by having a tool, our tool, Epic Base, and they could save €1 million.
That's incredible.
Just one recipe, eh? And that's really, that's what this is about. If you don't have a tool like Epic Base, eh, you really, you don't know what's going on in your kitchen, basically. In the end, your accounting department will be able to say, yeah, your food cost was 32%. Okay, but how
could you like,
do you know? Yeah. Yes. How do I get this from 32 to 28?
Yep.
Your accounting department will not say that to you. They will just say 32%. And then they saw overportioning is a huge issue in my business. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to tackle. And that's the actionable thing that Epic Base brings to you.
Well, and the other thing that we found in deploying recipe management systems is no different than 20 years ago. You probably had 10 phone numbers memorized, right? You had 10, maybe 15, 20 phone numbers memorized. And you would memorize them because you were having to dial them every single time and you had a phone book or you know, some way to capture those phone numbers. Now, you know, my children, I don't remember their phone number because I look it up, because I look it up each time. And in the recipe management world, it's very similar where you have the ability, when you put it into their place where they need to do that, that slow drip on your two to four fish ended up coming oftentimes from people that were not maliciously trying to do that. It was an accident, but they thought they remembered the recipe properly and it went from two to three to four. Exactly. And ultimately it hurts the business.
Yeah. It's an honest executive decision, which has very tremendously bad results.
Business consequences. Absolutely. Exactly.
And I'm not saying that they're doing this because they want to maliciously do something wrong in the business. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Not. Yep. But you have to be able to, you know, point this out and tell the guys, hey guys, you know, you're making this, but change it back to this, because that's when we make money and that's when we lose money.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm going to pivot just a bit because you talked about it in your intro about allergens. Allergens are a big deal. Yes. And, you know, allergens are a big deal. And ultimately, anybody that lives with somebody that has allergies or knows somebody with allergies, it's a big deal. You know, you put peanuts into something and you've got a peanut allergy and they've told you about it, you can ultimately, you know, have somebody pass away because of it. And so that's a pretty big deal. Talk to me a little bit about that, because again, the chef may have had a prep chef make this, you know, this product, and they go pull it out of the walk-in and they might not recognize that there's peanuts in this. And again, I'm using peanuts because they're just super, super prevalent, but mm-hmm. It's anything. It could be wheat. It could be gluten. It could be, you know, any kind of nuts. It could be eggs. Yeah. It could be shellfish. You know, they could have used a fish, you know, some kind of fish stock that had there, and you've got shellfish that they can't do. Talk to me a little bit about what you have found, you know, in the way of allergen management and helping the frontline employees. One of the other things that we continue to hear, and I think it's probably pretty relevant where you are, but it certainly is in the U.S., is turnover of employees. You know, with COVID, a lot of people left the restaurant industry. And so you're constantly, you know, that chef that might have been there for 20 years or that head cook might have been there for 20 years knew that there was shellfish in this recipe, but he left during the middle of COVID and didn't come back. And now I've got this new chef that's, you know, or this new cook that's running the line that doesn't know there's shellfish in there. So talk to me a little bit about how allergen management has been, you know, exacerbated and how you guys have helped solve some of that.
Yeah. So allergen management is a very difficult topic. Yeah? First of all, it's important to mention that this is a human thing to do. So you need a quality assurance team to make sure that when you are a business that is at a certain scale, that you make sure that all of the recipes that you put out there, that they are controlled and that you control the ingredients that you're using, and that you make sure that the data that is entered in a system, whether or not this is Epic Base or Excel or any other tool, that it is correct. It is always a bit of a difficult thing because people are looking for the holy grail, which is kind of an AI tool that magically does all of that calculations for you. And we do help them. And we do connect with suppliers and we ask them, if you have data about allergens, please send them with the data and we will display them. Also, we have connections with, for example, the USDA, but others as well. But USDA is the one that used most in the US. We have all of these connections in place to help, you know, improve the life of the quality assurance team. But in the end, it's the quality assurance team that needs to check a box within Epic Base that says this recipe is verified and approved for production. And this is, of course, the red thread throughout the software. If you open a recipe in Epic Base, it shows immediately whether or not you should be producing this recipe or not. And if you open a menu in Epic Base, it shows immediately which allergens are in which recipe. Yep. So when a customer asks for this, they can actually immediately look this up, or even better, they can share the menu with a QR code, and then the customer can scan this at the desk or at the till or anywhere, and they can look this up immediately without even having to ask to the server. And the great thing about a tool, and that's really the benefit, is this work about putting the allergens in the right place. That's something you had to do and you will have to do quite a while. There are, in, let's say, businesses that try to solve that, but it's extremely difficult because you have so many hundreds of thousands of ingredients changing all the time. So yeah, it's a very difficult thing. But anyway, putting that in is one thing. You can put this in Excel, but rather put it in Epic Base, because when you do this in a software like Epic Base, when you change something within an ingredient, it is recursively changed everywhere using it. And that's the benefit of having a tool, because you don't nearly, you only have to worry about this once. When you put a new ingredient in your database, make sure that the data is correct. And then the tool takes care of all of that.
Yeah, no, and one of the other use cases that people that don't have a solution like this, Excel, it's almost impossible to do it with, but something that's centrally hosted, is when you get a scare and you've got a recall on spinach, just for sake of argument. How do I change the recipe to pull the spinach out of everything and change it for arugula instantly across 20 or 30 or 70 stores, to your example earlier? It's impossible in Excel. You've got to make a bunch of phone calls. You got to send a bunch of text messages. You got to send a bunch of,
If I can just add something to that, because it's an interesting topic, because now you're talking about recall. Of course, in a restaurant, it's different, because restaurants, they're not obliged yet to label everything and know the ins and outs of everything. But once you start packaging your food and sending it to a school or sending it to an office building, you need to label it. You need to make sure where every chicken that you're using is coming from, and have the whole operation throughout the chain.
Yep.
And if you don't, it causes huge losses, because you just don't know what to recall. So you recall everything that's out there.
Yep.
If you know where everything is coming from, you can actually limit it back to just that batch of food that is bad, and you can just take that out of the production chain or the chain. And that's exactly what Epic Base does. You can go as far as really like to the detail of one item in one batch, and we tell you exactly in which supplier, fridge, refrigerator somewhere in the world you've put that batch. So that's really something you cannot achieve without good software.
I love it. I still am always blown away that we've got an art historian that turned tech entrepreneur. But I love the story. Let's take the journey down kind of the food cost and the purchase management side, because I think that's really where you guys have found not just the most success, but, you know, and again, I would implore all of our listeners, if you don't have a recipe management system, if you don't understand, because truly, even what you guys are doing now with purchase management and food cost software is very different than plating instructions and prep instructions. You know, they are two different systems, but are part of the same, I guess, you know, what the chef uses. And a lot of times people think, oh, I've got a food cost management system, but they don't have something to instruct the people actually in the prep line or the people on the make line for those things. And then the opposite often happens. They have a recipe book that's digital or is, you know, might be paper that they email out or whatever, but they've got a recipe book, but then they don't have a food cost. So talk to me a little bit about how you guys have tied those things.
Yeah, both of those things are actually covered in our menu development suite, the module that focuses on really on the intellectual property of a business. That's how I call it, because that's really why people come back to your business. It's because they like the food, and that sets you apart from any other business. You can have a nice concept, but if the food is bad, they will not return. So you have to have a great concept, and then you have to add great food. So there's two things on great food. The first one is, of course, you need to know how to make it. So you were referring to videos when you were talking about Thomas Keller. Well, we do this differently. We have a step-by-step guide in which you can actually add pictures per step, and you can actually also animate those steps. So you can really see somebody, you know, with 7-8 pictures go from an empty plate to a fully dressed burger in 8 steps, and they know exactly visually how to do it. So that's covered with one part of that module. The other part is, of course, the food cost. And honestly, I think when people start taking food cost seriously, they will see that very often their margin, even at the start of when they, you know, go into business with that menu, their margin will be too low. Mm-hmm. Because they think it's an 80-20, the margin, the 80% margin on their food cost. But in reality, they're at 67%.
Yeah.
At least in theoretical reality. So when they start making the recipe, they see, oh, it's only a 67% margin that I have. And then the reality hits because, you know, food cost rises, overportioning, waste. They have to throw it out because it's not good anymore, the food. And then the real margin is 58%.
Yeah.
So if you start bad, it becomes even worse. So it starts by putting in the recipe and making sure that you know you're close to the 80-20 rule. And if you some of your products and the recipes that you sell, the dishes that you sell in your restaurants are maybe less profitable, fine, because they might be signature dishes, but then make sure that your menu card evens this out. And
you have higher margins on different items.
Exactly.
Yep. Well, and I think it's interesting that you say that, because I find a lot of restaurateurs that don't have a food cost system. They take total purchases and divide it by sales, and, you know, they take their AP, they say, I bought $10,000 worth of product, I sold $20,000 worth of food, and I've got a 50% margin. And it's like it's nowhere close, but it's just interesting, and I'm sure you guys have experienced that people take really, really gross numbers, and they don't know where to even move their product. They don't know what to focus on, where to drive customers, how to make more money as a business, because they're not measuring it and they're not managing it.
Exactly. And basically what you're mentioning is really, you know, they do this after the facts.
Yep.
The end of the month, when they have hopefully made a bit of profit, but probably also a big loss on certain items, then they come to the realization, that's weird. I've bought so many produce and it's so expensive. I cannot get out of costs. So luckily, when you are a bit bigger, you probably also do this beforehand, which is good, which is much better. But that's really, you know, where the shift needs to go. You need to understand where your menu is at a certain moment in time, and that's at the beginning of your cycle, not at the end of your cycle. So that's really one of the things that people need to understand is really it's not just about taking all your profit and dividing it by your food cost.
Yeah. Yeah, and getting a gross food cost. Exactly. Now, I'm going to ask you to double click a little bit on kind of menu engineering and identifying that I'm making this filet mignon dish with, you know, period potatoes and green beans, just for sake of argument. Mm-hmm. And when you decide to change that filet for flat iron steak, what, you know, going through that menu engineering project and trying to get to your ideal food costs, understanding what your other costs are in your business, as well as what your actuals are. Talk to me a little bit about that process and how you guys deal with that at Epic Base and how you guys are helping people to make smarter decisions on what they put on their menu, mm-hmm. what they focus on, and then really measuring back, not just that one day or that one week, but even across a chain. As I'm rolling out that menu item, what does it look like when I get to the 10th store and the 15th store? And why do I have a 22% food cost in this one store and a 28% food cost in a different store? You know, how exactly are you guys helping people to work through that?
Well, there's a bunch of different tools that you can use to understand where you're at in your business. Basically, one of the most powerful graphs that we provide our businesses is the Boston Consultancy Matrix, or the Miller Matrix in food terms. It's about the cash cows, the dogs, the question marks, etc.
Yep.
And that's basically about, you know, what's the profit you have on a certain item and how much did you sell that item? And then certain items pop up on the right top corner, which is great, and some are in the bottom somewhere dying away or eating your margin. So this is one of the most important ones to look at when you are running a business. I think that shows you which items you have to kill off, which items uh-huh. are high in profit, but you have to push more to the customer, and which ones are just, you know, your cash cows. But then, of course, the second thing is, of course, also understanding I have a theoretical food cost and I have an actual food cost. And I have to compare both of those. And then there is a gap that exists. And that gap I need to fill. I need to understand. And where does that go to? And then, of course, you have different options there. And if you use software like Epic Base, basically, in the most basic way, then, of course, we will tell you that there is a gap, which is already a good thing because most people don't know the gap. But then when you start using software a bit more intensively and you know you want to know where this goes, you start registering your waste, you start registering your creation of items, going from a potato to a French fries, things like that. And then you have a much more in-depth, grained, uncontrolled waste, because you know where the waste went, what happened to that waste, etc., etc. And then you start understanding, okay, these are the items I need to work on, and these are the food costs, the costs of the ingredients that went up, maybe not a lot, maybe 5%, but I buy a lot of those, so I have to do something about these things. And that's really where software like Epic Base really, you know, makes the difference.
Yeah. So I'm going to go the opposite route real quick, and as we're starting to wrap up our conversations, is, have you seen customers that go too far? I had a customer implement an inventory system, and it was a fast food restaurant, and he measured the ketchup. He measured the ketchup packets and the napkins that went into the bag. He measured the salt that went onto the French fries. And, you know, he had 10, you know, 10 fast food burger places. And quite frankly, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze, as they say, you know. And, you know, talk to me a little bit about how you guys have managed to keep people from getting so far in the weeds that they're measuring things that matter so much less. And mm-hmm. they don't even focus on, you know, a lot of places mm-hmm. will say, you know what, let's just take our top 20 items and measure them, which is better than zero. Then you get the people that want to measure every single thing, and they end up killing themselves, and they're not running a restaurant any longer. They're running a tech stack trying to measure salt and ketchup and pepper and, you know, things that matter a lot less. Talk to me a little bit about how you guys have helped people through that journey.
Well, honestly, the truth is that most businesses need encouragement to improve their measurement rather than slow it down a little bit. Because I think a good balance is actually when you make sure that, you know, the large items within your large volume items in your business are measured. I think those are the most important ones to measure. What we do see a lot, maybe that is a little bit what you're pointing at as well, is that, you know, when people are taking the decision to go for a food and beverage management tool, they often tend to dream away about a big castle with a lot of rooms and everything goes automatically, and they want and they come to Epic Base and they say, you know, I want to measure the waste and I want to have the weight and I want to have exactly what I'm wasting. And then we ask the question, okay, but what are you doing today in your kitchen? How are you working? And then they don't have food costs, they don't have inventory, they don't procure in an orderly way. So what we see often is, you know, first steps first, and going from let's say zero to an automated inventory system without maybe knowing exactly where all of the waste is going. Is it theft, or is it expiry date, or is it over portioning? As long as you know I'm wasting 7% of my food, that's already a huge improvement. And then, okay, if you're there, let's talk about the next step, maybe integrate with a scale or anything like that, so you can go even further with that. But the goal is actually, you know, to go, let's say, the 80%, and then you're already very, very far down the road to understand exactly where your food business is going.
Well, and at the end of the day, when you get that 80%, you're so much better off than the majority of your competitors. And so with that, that's and I remind people to crawl before they walk, before they run. Because exactly. At the end of the day, trying to eat all of it, you know, eat an elephant one bite at a time. You can't take it all. You know, I'm all full today of all of these little sayings. But at the end of the day, you've got to focus on the core to start, and then just start to build on it, because it gets easier with time as you continue to do that.
Yeah, and to build on what you say about the competitive advantage, I think that's one of those things that I mean, you couldn't be more right. I think knowing the data, that is a competitive advantage over any of your competitors. And if you know what you're doing, if you measure, you can manage. That's basically it. And that's how you make the difference between an okay restaurant or an okay chain and a heavily profitable one.
I love it. So we've taken a huge journey here, Carl. Talk to me a little bit about what it looks like to get engaged with your team. You know, if our listeners are out there and they're like, you know what, I need Epic Base, I need to figure it out, I'm not doing it, and they've just been so convinced that whether it's the recipe management product, or it's the ingredients, or it's the allergens, or it's, you know, the full-on purchasing and everything, what does that look like to engage with your team? What can I expect as a consumer that's running a restaurant that, you know, once I engage with your team, how does that look?
Yeah. First of all, we have built our software in such a way that we only need to give you what you need. So if you're not looking for inventory management, just for product information management, that's fine. Epic Base is there to help you solve the issues that you as a business have. Secondly, if you want to understand more about Epic Base and want to talk to us, it's just a matter of going to our website, get.epicbase.com, where you can, you know, browse around, understand the different modules that we have, but also definitely go to the resources page, because there's a huge, you know, blog section with a lot of articles about how to do certain stuff. And if you're, let's say, a mom and pop store or a smaller restaurant, and you're saying, you know, I like Epic Base, but maybe it's a bit too far-fetched for me, because, you know, I just need basic stuff, then also go to our website, because we do have a few, you know, Excel sheets freely available, ready to download, and you can start off your business with Excel sheets. And once you grow and you come to a certain, you know, volume, 3 to 5 restaurants at the minimum, then it's really good to get in touch with Epic Base, and you just send us an email or you fill out a form on the website, and then we are there to really understand your business, because that's really the first thing that we do, is understanding your business, and we try to map your issues on the software that we have. And then once you sign your contract, we don't leave you just hanging there. We really have a customer success team that's world-class and really there to, you know, solve any of your questions, help you in the right direction, get on the right track, and make sure that in the end, you can say, you know, I invested in Epic Base, but I got it back 15 times.
I love it. And so I would encourage all of our listeners, go check out Epic Base. Carl's been awesome to work with as we've been kind of talking through, you know, helping educate the restaurant community about the things that it is that you guys need to be doing. Because if you're not, I promise you, your competitors are doing much of these same things. So, you know, not that I'm trying to scare anybody into going and checking it out, but at the end of the day, you've got to figure these things out, because food costs only continues to rise. Commodity costs only continue to increase. You know, allergens, I mean, it's getting harder and harder to run a restaurant. And at the same time, tools are getting easier and easier to implement. Tools are getting easier and easier to put in the hands of your team to be able to help them to run a better restaurant. And so while you guys are online checking out Epic Base, go give us a rating on your favorite podcast player, because it helps to get the word out. Go check these guys out. Connect with Carl and his team. He's got an awesome team that will really be willing to help you guys out. If you haven't already done so, subscribe to the newsletter. Once a month, on the first of the month, you guys will get an email with all of the blog articles, all of the podcasts. We're not going to spam you. Just looking to get word out about all of the cool things that are happening at Restaurant Technology Guys. Carl, thank you so much. And to our listeners, make it a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast. Visit restauranttechnologyguys.com for tips, industry insights, and more to help you run your restaurant better.